You see, there's no good way to put it, but Mimi is just 13 years old, and if she snuck out as my daughter or even as my sister, or let's just say she's just living in my house, she snuck out to go to a concert, when I catch her, I will flog Shege out of her body. Hi. You're listening to Let's Talk Animation with AJ. If you're new on this podcast show, my name is AJ. AJ is short for Amaka Jessica. And what we do here, just like the name insinuates, we're talking about animated movies. And today's animated movie that we're going to be hammering on is Turning Red. Turning Red is an animated comedy film by Pixar Studios. It's produced by Lindsay Collins and directed by Domi Shi. If you want to know more about, like, the casting directors, you know, screenplay writers, the storytellers, you can just go online and just type Turning Red, go on Google and type Turning Red and, you know, do your research. So we're just going to get right down to business, right? I'm going to just give a brief story or like a brief synopsis of the general story so that those who haven't watched it can at least, you know, be motivated to go and watch it, right? So the story is just about a girl, Maylene, and her family. Maylene is also known as May May, as she was referred to in the movie. She inherited an ancestral blessing, but the blessing turned into a curse in a way because it makes her transform into a giant red panda whenever she gets too excited. But I won't just say it's too excited because in the movie they also mention whenever she has like an overflow of emotions, regardless of the kind of emotions, if it's joy, if it's anger, if it's hurt, she turns into the red panda. Right, so the whole point of the movie was trying to get that spirit, to suppress the red panda spirit in her and contain it so that she'd be able to, you know, live a normal life and express her emotions without turning into a ridiculous red panda. That was the whole point of the movie. Now, I think I'm just going to go ahead to state like five things I liked and five things I didn't like in the movie. Now, I don't know if it's going to cross the boundaries of five things I liked or like the number five, but let's just see how it goes. The first thing I liked in the movie Turning Red, I liked the way the story went, basically. I liked the fact that the relationship between the mother and the daughter was very realistic. May May is the only daughter, is the only child, as far as we know in the movie, right? And she was bestowed with a lot of responsibilities, which sometimes in movies they don't really reflect that. They just show kids who go to school, come back, the mother, you know, cooks for them, the father goes to work and all that. But we saw a child who was being trained to be responsible, you know, take care of the family needs, cook, help the mother in the kitchen, help the father in the kitchen, come back, take care of the family temple. That was nice to see. You know, it also teaches children that at a young age you can be responsible for a very big task. That's good. Then I also liked the boy band that was introduced in the movie, Four Town. I even thought it was like a real band at a point. I don't know why I thought it was a real band. Probably because of how they, you know, they decorated the whole Four Towny and Four Town, the fan base and all that. I liked the band Four Town, probably because it also reminded me of BTS. I'm a huge BTS fan. I'm an ARMY. So, and then one of them was also called Taeyong. So it was like, did BTS inspire them, the creation of Four Town? Although when I was watching several interviews, the director said that she created one of the characters from the boy band. It was inspired by Jimin. Like, Jimin inspired the creation of one of the characters of Four Town boy band. So that's no surprise because they just reminded me of Four Town, of BTS, especially their fan base, the way they drool over, you know, the group. I love that. I love to see it because I'm an ARMY too and all that. So concerning Four Town, there is also another thing I like, which will bring me to the third thing I liked, was the track, like, Nobody Like You. Never not by your side. Oh, I. And when I went to research the lyrics, I saw that Billie Eilish was also part of people that wrote it. And I was just so happy. Everything was composed. The scores were composed originally. And it was beautiful. When I saw Billie Eilish's name on the list of people that, you know, composed that track, I was happy. I think she's one of them. I think if I'm wrong, I stand to be corrected. But I saw her name. I know I did when I was looking up all the tracks that were sung on that, have you sung on whichever one, on that movie. So the fourth thing I liked was the way the panda looked. I liked that it was fluffy, it was cute, and all that. I liked the whole, in as much as it was supposed to be scary, but it was cute, fitting the theme, like fitting the general aesthetic of the movie. It wasn't outside the aesthetic of Turning Red. So if I had seen something a bit scary, it would have been a bit off for the way they designed the characters and the entire scenery in the movie. So the panda fits into that concept, and I loved it. Now, I think the last thing, I liked the diversity of the friends, of Mei Mei's friends. I liked how there's the hippie one, there's the one that, you know, looks cute but can kill you. There's one that will kill you but is actually a teddy bear. You know, that thing that was trending on TikTok that time. So I loved the diversity in her friend group, and I loved how supportive they were. I also loved how rebellious they were and were encouraging her to be her true self and all that and blah, 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 blah. I loved that friend group. Now, let's go to the five things that I didn't like. Now, I know I said I liked the panda, but I didn't like the panda. It's a contradiction, it's a direct contradiction, but I did not like that panda. Why? Because when they were narrating the story of how the woman who begged, prayed to the pandas that she loved, and they bestowed her with the spirit of the panda to defend her home from invaders, right? That was how the blessing of the red panda was passed down to all the women in her generation, right? The panda is supposed to be scary. I don't know, I'm wrong. I know I said if the panda was scary, it wouldn't fit into the aesthetic, but at the same time, when Mei Mei turns into the panda, I expect to see a scary, fierce creature, not a fluffy teddy bear. I don't know if it makes sense, but like, hear me out. Aesthetic wise, that panda was perfect, but based on the story and the illustration they were using for us when they were narrating how that red panda came about, that panda did not fit into the picture for me. I felt like it should have been a bit more fierce, which it was. The panda that was fierce was the ones of the aunties. Even the aunties ones were a bit cute. The grandma, the mother has the Mimi's mother herself, the panda was very fierce. I didn't expect it to be that large, but it was fierce. It looked fierce. The panda looked fierce. But Mimi's own looked very, it looks like you can intimidate that panda. I'm not joking. It looks like I can intimidate it, which is not supposed to be so. The only time you can see it look scary is when Mimi is really, 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 really angry. Probably that's the whole point. But I mean, if she turns into a red panda, it's supposed to scare people, at least at the first glance. They're supposed to be scared of, whoa, you know, this is a panda, it's gigantic, it's red, it's scary, it can literally tear me to pieces or to shreds if it wants to. But when once she turned into a panda in her school, everybody was like, oh, which I don't know if it's just me, but I just felt like it should not have been so. Then the next thing was that I didn't like was, I don't know what they call it, but I don't know if it's UWU. I used to see it on TikTok. You find it in webtoons, in webcomics, and like in anime. When something is really cute, the character kind of like shrinks and the eye glows, and then there's this like glowy things in their eyes. I saw it in this thing. I don't know why I don't like it. It's a personal thing. It's not like I hate it. I read webcomics, I read webtoons a lot. But like, I prefer seeing it there. But since that was not like it was not an anime, I didn't expect to see that expression there. But it kind of worked. I don't know, but I just didn't like that thing, that eye thing in that movie. The next thing that I didn't like, isn't like I didn't like this next point, it's the third one. But I felt like the mother and like Mimi's mother and Mimi's grandmother, their vendetta is much more elaborate than I think they allowed us to see. I get that they disagreed based on Mimi's father, you know, Mimi's mother wanted to marry Mimi's father, but Mimi's grandmother disagreed. I get that. And that was the reason that, you know, the two of them, like the mother and her grandmother, fought. They had a huge disagreement and all that. So they're always headbutting and all that. I understand that. But somehow, the way they communicate in that movie, I feel like there is more to that story than they are telling us. Or, you know, the writer kind of like restricted, did not want to focus much attention on them. Because the way she expressed herself when they were in the other dimension trying to, you know, let go of the red panda, when Mimi was guiding her to that glass circle. There was a glass circle that they will penetrate into that will separate the red panda from themselves, allowing them to be in control of their human form 100%, right? So when she was guiding her mother in that dimension to that circle, glass, watery, whatever, right? She was crying, and the emotions I got from there, it felt like there was much more that wasn't said than was said. I don't know if I'm making sense, but I felt like there was much more, and if they were ever going to make a part two of Turning Red, I feel like they should also elaborate more on the vendetta that the mother and her grandmother have, apart from the expectations and all that, which I probably feel is like the major thing, because she pushed that expectations to Mimi, and Mimi had enough and kind of like, you know, rebelled, which I understand and all that. So that's my third point. I feel like they should not have, because the attention was focused on Mimi. But regardless, you get my point. Now, the last thing I wanted to talk about is the teenage disobedience. See, I understand that, you know, Mimi wants to explore her, and I think in the beginning she was even saying that she was an adult. Yeah, in my culture, you're still a child. You're just 13. Is it because of the teen they added there? You just crossed 12 years. You see 13. You now saw teen. You now assume you're just a full teenager. I agree, technically. But you cannot come and be doing shalaye and, you know, be doing anyhow in my house. It's not possible, my dear. So when I saw that attitude displayed in that movie, I understand the reason behind it, meaning that she was kind of fed up with the expectations her mother mounted up on her, and she just wanted to be free. She wanted to go, you know, go to the Four Town concert and, you know, just enjoy herself and go to go and blah blah blah. Oh, it's not bad, or they're not bad, cha cha, it's not bad. I'm not against it, but honey, you're 13 years old. Like I said at the beginning of this podcast, if you have done it in my house, when you come back, if I catch you, my goodness gracious me, my goodness, I'm Nigerian, my goodness. But anyway, when watching the movie, I felt it sort of encouraged disobedience in my head. That is what I saw. I understand the reason behind the reaction, but in the movie, somehow it sort of is encouraging young children to kind of act out on their emotions. I don't know if what I'm saying is, you know, makes sense, but you get what I'm saying. The fact that they want freedom. You are not able to think properly or think about your safety at that young age. You won't be able to prioritize it at that young age. What you'll just be thinking is going to have fun at that point. Right? Forget about what the movie is saying now, but I'm talking about what it communicates to younger people who are watching that movie. When they try to emulate what they saw, my problem is not going out to have fun with your friends. My problem is when you're going out to a young at that age, 13, the only thing that is going through your head is, I just want to go have fun with my friends. You know, let's just go party, see a concert, take pictures, take videos. You don't prioritize your safety or any other extracurricular thing that can happen just going out and coming in. You're young. You're vulnerable at that point. And I do not encourage, I will never encourage that sort of behavior at that age. You are too young. 13 years old. 13 years old, I was in just three. For goodness sake. Where are you going? Even now, Seth, I want to go out. My mother will ask me, who is that? Where is that place you are going to? When are you coming back? You know, if I'm even going early, she say, is it not too early? If I say I'm coming back at 6, she will say 6 p.m. You're coming back 6 p.m. You know, and I understand. But I do not encourage that behavior. And somehow I felt like the movie sort of, in a subtle way, unintentionally, I don't think it was intentional. It can never be intentional, I do hope. But unintentionally, that is what, for me, you listening could have a different opinion. But for me, this is the opinion that I carry. That sort of, in a subtle way, somebody might interpret it as, okay, Mimi, you have inspired me to go and tell my mother that I want to go to Burna Boy's concert in Lekki, and you are living, you know, Shodi, you want to go where? Are you thinking straight? Please and please, let's be guided. So yeah, that's like about it. That's about it for what I liked and what I didn't like about the movie. If you've not seen the movie, please go watch it. If you have seen the movie and in some way, somehow, you do not agree with any of my opinions, feel free to come on my Instagram. I do have an Instagram account for this podcast, so you can just go on there and tell me what you think, or you can just comment under anywhere you're listening to this podcast from Anchor, for Apple Music, from Google Podcasts, wherever it is. I'd find the comments and I would address it. Okay, so thank you for listening. Thank you for staying this long. Thank you for listening to Let's Talk Animation podcast with AJ. That's it for this episode. See you next time. Peace.